Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Ready for the next level of real personalized banking? Muna's ITMs are like a teller in your car. That's right. From 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, using one of Muna's ITMs at our main branch in Marion or Collinsville makes it so easy to bank with us.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Glad to see you on this Sunday night. Selection Sunday, I guess, is what it is. I know that's the basketball term, but the college football playoff field has been officially set. And boy, is there some controversy around that. And the bowl games have been announced. Obviously, we had to wait until after the actual selection to find out where Ole Miss was going. It is the Gator Bowl. It is Duke. And so we will talk about that and talk about the playoffs and get to your comments on this edition of the Rebel Report. Again, my name is Michael Borky. I'm so glad that you guys are here. Don't forget, if you're watching after the fact, leave a comment, like the video. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the channel, especially if you're listening over at Super Talk on the Super Talk YouTube channel. Please don't forget to like the video and subscribe so you don't miss all the other great content we have to offer on there. And subscribe to this if you have not already. Wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating. And if you like what you hear anyway, leave a rating and a review. And before we get into any of it, I want to tell you that this edition and all editions of this podcast are presented by the Gregory Law Firm. 662-397-9799 is the phone number. If you're in Mississippi and you are a small business owner and you need legal advice, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. If you have been personally injured, do not wait another second. Call the Gregory Law Firm tomorrow morning at 662-397-9799. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, for all of your personal injuries, small business, or even contract disputes as well. He can service you anywhere in Mississippi. Do not delay. Call DJ Gregory today. Well, he'd probably appreciate you calling in the morning unless it was emergent, but call him in the morning, Monday morning, if you need him. 662-397-9799. So we'll start with Ole Miss because this is an Ole Miss-related podcast. So we will start there. And quite simply, it is a very fitting bowl game, if we're being totally honest, to the kind of season that they had. Quite frankly, I've gotten a couple of responses, whether it be via DM or email. Nothing bad. It was just like, you know, you're so critical of one guy in particular was like, why are you so critical of Lane? Like, we could just go back to the Matt Luke era, is what he said. And it's like, you know, I understand that perspective. I truly do. I understand that there have been very bad times at Ole Miss. Matt Luke is not the worst of those times. He, you know, tried to keep the program afloat with a job that he shouldn't have gotten. But there have been awful times for Ole Miss football for a long time. And so a 9-win season historically is on the upper tier of seasons at Ole Miss. I understand that. But with increased investment should come increased expectations and return on that investment. I'm not even really talking about the NIL space. Ole Miss has given Lane Kiffin everything he needs to win at a high level, and he's done that, right? We've talked about it, 38 wins in 4 years. If they win the bowl game, it's 39 wins in 4 years. He's sustaining winning, but both things can be true at the same time, and I don't know why, if you're critical of what happened this season, people take that as like you think that they should fire Lane and rehire Matt Luke or something. It's a very weird reaction that a very small percentage of Ole Miss fans out there have given me and others about this. But Lane Kiffin's done a very good job at Ole Miss, and he should be commended for that. And next year's team probably going to be pretty solid. You got, even though there is a lot of pieces leaving, you've got a pretty nice nucleus returning. You know what they're going to do in the transfer portal, signed a nice recruiting class. So things are still okay. and he has elevated the program, no doubt. And you can also look at this season ending playing Duke in the Gator Bowl as a failure. That can be true as well. Traditionally, historically, 9-win seasons at Ole Miss are very good. This one, this ending, this bowl game, not anywhere close to where this team should have been at all. It's fitting, frankly, for the kind of disappointment that the season had. Now, am I going to just, you know, crap on the bowl game for the next few weeks? No, I'm not. I'm going to put that kind of conversation to bed after tonight, and we'll talk about it in other contexts, and we'll get more information about players hitting the portal and opt-outs and things like that. We saw tonight, I assume that this was Jordan Watkins saying that he's going to play in the game when he does the little soon emoji with a picture of him when he was at Louisville playing against Duke. So I would assume that means he's not opting out. And look, I understand that Jordan Watkins is not a first-round pick, but when you saw a year ago the entire Florida State team quit an Access Bowl, it's at least noteworthy that you've got, you know, starters acknowledging that, hey, I'm playing in this game. How many opt-outs will there be? I don't know. I've heard, you know, expect anywhere between 5 and 10, maybe more, maybe less. I don't know. I know it's been reported by Chase Parham, and we've even talked about it on the radio show, that the Grove Collective contracts are backloaded or incentivized for the overwhelming majority of players to play in the bowl game. And if they don't, they miss their final payment. And some of them are rather significant amounts of money. So that helps as well. We'll see. You know, we'll see what kind of team shows up there. This is a weird take. I understand how weird of a take this is, because I don't expect Jackson Dart to sit out this game unless that ankle injury is really bad. I would expect him to play. And that's a great thing, right? I mean, one more chance to watch the quarterback that has helped the elevation or the continuation of the elevation of your program. And, you know, he should go out on his own terms, and all of those things are true. I would be more intrigued about the actual result on the field in this game if he were to opt out. And again, that's not a shot at Jackson Dart. That is not diminishing his accomplishments. The perspective I'm coming from is this is now just an exhibition, right? The bowl games kind of always have been. Now in the playoff era, they especially are. We know what Jackson Dart is capable of, obviously. We know that, you know, this is his last game. His next game will be in an NFL preseason environment. I think that watching Austin Simmons play in this game would be more compelling for me. Maybe if you get some opt-outs on the defensive line, seeing somebody like Cam Franklin play heavy snaps would be more compelling to me, to kind of see what you have there, you know, to really see what you have with Austin Simmons absent one drive against Georgia. What would it look like with an entire prep time to play in this game and four quarters of him instead of just one series? That would draw my intrigue more than this game currently will. That's not to say that I think, you know, they need to kick Dart to the curb. I'm not doing that. But, you know, I do think that the opt-outs can actually breed some intrigue in these games that are otherwise just kind of exhibitions at this point in the playoff era. So, you know, is this game important? Bowl games are only important if you win. They're meaningless if you lose. But I do think there is – okay, winning this bowl game doesn't matter. In the grand scheme of things, it really doesn't. What matters is the recruiting class, which is already done, what they do in the transfer portal, and what they have at quarterback. That's what matters, right? Winning or losing this game really won't impact that much. But like we talked about in the Egg Bowl, after the Florida loss, you needed something to allow people to really get excited again, to buy back in. And I know they didn't play particularly well, but you know, beating State, was it 3 or 4 of 5 years under Lane Kiffin is, you know, that's something that you can sell, right? And he did it in his press conference after signing day. And it's something that fans can kind of gravitate towards. It's like, hey, you know, missed the playoffs, lost to Florida, but beat the rival again, signed a good recruiting class. And then the same thing can happen here where you win this bowl game and it's your third double-digit win season in 4 years, your third in 4 years. And that's something that, you know, you can get people to kind of buy back into and you can essentially start spinning back in your direction that, yeah, maybe the season, not maybe, the season was an underachievement by any stretch of the imagination, but it wasn't a disaster. They didn't come apart. They won their last two games, won a bowl game, got to 10 wins, and just kind of allow people to kind of grab back onto something. So, again, it's a bowl game. They've lost their luster for sure, but I do think showing up and playing well and winning this game, if they can get it done, actually can have some impact, some level of impact on the fan base and just kind of the program continuing momentum. Losing to Duke in the Gator Bowl would be a pretty brutal close of a season where the team came up short. I think there's value in showing up and playing well and putting on a show for your fans, especially the ones that show up for a game like that. So I've already seen some comments about the playoff. So I'll just get to that after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. So if you're a business and you are in this state, they can service you anywhere, and they've got everything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage and data security. It's really that simple with Advantage Business Systems. They've got you covered. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment as well. So they'll perform an assessment, give you a quote on me, absms.com. And podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with the local loan servicing and decision making. So if you need a loan, or if you have a loan with them and you need it serviced, it's not somebody that you have to talk to who's in a different state or on Zoom or whatever. It's local. It's somebody that you'll build a relationship with, that you'll sit down with, and they'll get to know you, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Conference championship games still mattered this weekend is the first comment of the night after Pat told me that I was late, even though I'm not. Who would have thought? And, you know, here's the thing about the conference championship games. Not only did they matter, at least a little bit, making your conference championship game guaranteed you were in only if you were in three conferences. So for some reason, SMU just guaranteed to get in just by showing up to their conference championship. Penn State, Oregon, both guaranteed to get in. Georgia, Texas, both guaranteed to get in. Iowa State, they make their conference championship. Their conference is no worse. In fact, I would argue it's much better than the ACC, but they get sent, they just get kicked to the curb. No, nobody cares about Iowa State getting left out after losing their conference championship. But SMU, we got to keep them in or else. Very, very interesting weekend. The playoff format is completely broken. So I'm glad that you said that, so I can just kind of do the second half of the lead here. The playoff field is set. And for those of you that haven't seen it or need a visual, Oregon is the number one overall seed. They will play the winner of Ohio State, Tennessee in Columbus. I would have at least flip-flopped those. Ohio State gets that game instead of Tennessee, but oh well. Georgia is the number two overall seed, having won the SEC. They will play the winner of Notre Dame and Indiana. Boise State gets a bye after winning the Mountain West. They will get the winner of Penn State and SMU. And Arizona State will get the fourth bye, and they will play the winner of Texas and Clemson, Alabama having been left out in favor of SMU. And so, I mean, the playoff format, the way it was made, created, bred this kind of thing happening, because it placed such an incredibly imbalanced emphasis on winning conference championships, you were going to get a situation in which Boise State, for winning the Mountain West, was rewarded with a bye. They were rewarded with a bye over Ohio State, Tennessee, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, 11-1 Indiana. Boise State gets that. because they win a conference championship game against a UNLV team that they already beat previously, and they get that. Arizona State gets, and I like Dillingham a lot, and I like that team a lot, but Arizona State gets a bye over the aforementioned teams just because they were able to beat Iowa State in an extra game at the end of the season. The automatic bids and the buys, the way they're distributed, I think are simply incorrect. You should not be rewarded for just winning a conference. And what I have grown incredibly frustrated with, the discourse around this, it's twofold. The first is people in my business that are intentionally pretending like Arizona State's accomplishment is equal to that of Oregon's and Georgia's. That Boise State's accomplishment is equal to that of Oregon's and Georgia's. And everybody that is not intentionally lying to their audience or to themselves knows that Oregon and Georgia's path to this spot are totally different than Arizona State and Boise State's path to this spot. And the argument of, well, just win your conference is fine. Like, I understand that perspective. But when we are rewarding teams that play in such an imbalanced conference compared to the others, that's where it becomes a big issue for me. And what I really can't stand is comparing it to the NFL. I can't stand that. It is so, it's not even apples to oranges. It's apples to lawn chairs. Well, every division winner in the NFL gets the NFL by design is as balanced as it possibly can be. Do you have good franchises and bad ones? Absolutely. Do you have good teams and bad teams? Absolutely. Are the Panthers a dumpster fire? Are the Cowboys a dumpster fire? Absolutely. But the NFL is, it's so perfect because Buffalo is the class of the league. Detroit is the class of the league. Kansas City's been the best of the league for years now. Money and markets don't matter in the NFL. What matters is how well run you are. The worst teams literally get the best players on an annual basis. The best players are forced to go to the worst teams in the NFL. They're forced to do it. And there's a salary cap. So there's no amount of the players are balanced on purpose, distributed evenly across the entire league. And the entire league is capped, exclusively capped on what they can spend on their roster. College football cannot be further from that. It is beyond the opposite of that. I mean, for example, we just had signing day the other day, and there's 31 five-stars this year. 31 five-stars. So the best players in the sport. 21 of them went to SEC schools, 21 of them. 10 of them went to Big Ten schools. That's it. That's it. All of the best players in this recruiting class went to two leagues. And that's an annual phenomenon. That is how it is. It's abundantly obvious. And yes, there are situations in which an SEC team loses to a non-SEC team. That does happen. It's not like they all go, you know, games still get played. There are still good players in these other conferences, and things happen sometimes. Of course they do. But when we try to put on the same pedestal what Oregon and Georgia and Alabama, who didn't even make it, and even Texas, who doesn't have a single ranked win, they have the 21st most difficult schedule in college football. Texas played the 21st most difficult schedule in college football. That is better than everybody in the field besides Georgia. Thinking that what Boise State accomplished is better than that of what Tennessee accomplished. Yes, Alabama only has themselves to blame because they lost to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. And for some reason, SMU is, well, they didn't, SMU didn't lose to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. They took care of their business. Well, not exclusively, but they took care of their business. Yeah, would SMU beat Vanderbilt? Maybe so, probably. would they also be able to get through Alabama's schedule with a win in Baton Rouge, with a win over Georgia? No, they wouldn't. And same thing with Oregon. Look at Oregon's schedule and tell me that SMU could have done that. Of course not. Of course they couldn't have. Look at what Penn State, I mean, Penn State's schedule is not exactly that difficult either. But why should I think that what Penn State had to go through is equal to what Boise State had to go through? Because it's not. And then on top of it all, the draw. Penn State, the sixth seed, got the best draw in this thing. Oregon's playing either Ohio State or Tennessee in their first round game. Penn State is SMU, Boise State. That's their draw. I would rather play SMU and Boise State than just one of Ohio State or Tennessee. The automatic bid thing is broken. It's completely broken. It buys, I don't think, should happen in this thing. I really don't. Frankly, I think it should be 16, and you find a transparent formula to rank 1 through 16, and you have 8 games on campuses, and you do it that way. And still, you would have gotten a group of 5 included in this. SMU still would have made it. Arizona State still would have made it. So it would have worked out this way as well. But rewarding buys to teams that played the schedule that Boise State did, I don't think is just. I just don't. And a lot of people don't. And the second thing that's really, really bothering me is how dishonest the reaction to, like, Greg Burns' statement has been from people that, you know, pretend to be intellectual sports writers, right? You know, one in particular works at NBC, which is a direct partner with the Big Ten. Interesting. But anyway, Greg Byrne releases a statement basically saying that, hey, we need to relook, athletic director at Alabama, we need to reconsider how we schedule our non-conference games. And all these, you know, super smart Big J journalist sports writers attacked him because it wasn't Alabama's non-conference schedule that left him out of the playoff. No, that's not what he said. That's not what he said at all. And those people are smart enough to know that that's not what he said. They're just choosing to be intentionally obtuse about that. They're choosing to not understand his point. And his point's a good one. And his point's being discussed behind the scenes by a lot of people, by the way. It's now the committee has clearly displayed that scheduling tough does not matter. What matters is getting the right number of wins. That's what matters. SMU got in over Alabama because they won more games than them. That's it. Their schedule, who they played, does not matter. Boise State's inclusion in this is exclusively because they won games in a bad conference. The committee even has openly addressed strength of schedule and answered it in a way that tells you strength of schedule does not matter. They proved that with their rankings all season and the way they've answered questions. They've proved it. And so what Alabama, and again, a lot of people behind the scenes, not just in the SEC either, but I know in the SEC and athletic departments across the league, they're looking at their future schedules. Alabama's got Ohio State and Notre Dame on their future schedule. What's the purpose of playing those games? Oh, but with Alabama, they shouldn't say that because they shouldn't have lost to Oklahoma. No, they shouldn't have. But the SEC has the most difficult schedules in college football, as evidenced by every single schedule measuring algorithm, metric, whatever you want to use. The SEC has the most difficult schedules. Again, I mentioned Texas has the 21st ranked schedule in college football, the second best in the field, only behind Georgia. The league dominates the strength of schedule already, but what did it get them? Got them left out. Why, if you're already playing a difficult slate, as proven by evidence, why would you add another difficult game to your schedule? Why would you expand to 9 conference games? Why would you make it harder on yourself? You're already getting left out because of how hard it is for you. If you are scheduled to face Ohio State, Notre Dame, Ole Miss was scheduled to face USC in the non-conference, Why would you play those games? You don't get rewarded for winning those games. You don't. Not really. But you get punished for losing them. That's what his point was. And it's a good one. It's a very good one. It's very sound in logic and reason. But, you know, Big J, super intellectual sports writers wanted to pretend like they didn't get it. Line for the Gator Bowl, assuming no opt-outs, is Ole Miss minus 12. Yeah, I mean, I guess that tracks. Well, there will be some opt-outs, but I don't know. I don't know who it will be yet. Over-under on number of opt-outs, fewer than 10 is what my guess would be. Again, a lot of these guys, like the fringe draft picks, like the mid to late round guys, probably shouldn't want to afford to miss their final payment in the collective. Somebody like a Walter Nolan, who's in line to make millions of dollars, might be a different story. But initially I heard that, you know, wasn't going to be that many. Now that it's the Gator Bowl against Duke, maybe things change. The committee should be drawn in quarter, not even an Ole Miss thing. They are supposed to pick the best 12 teams in the country. Definitely didn't happen. They are kind of set up to fail because they're not tasked to pick the best 12 teams. They are guaranteeing five bids. Five bids are guaranteed regardless of ranking. So it's really they're trying to pick the seven best teams after that. But their own criteria that is listed on their website of how they select, they have openly ignored and told you that they have ignored them. In basketball, who you play matters. I understand it's a little bit easier to schedule teams in basketball and you have these tournaments and there's more non-conference games to fill. But in college basketball, you're rewarded for playing a difficult schedule. Just play as many hard games as you can in college basketball. In football, the committee, the chair, the committee chair today, in justifying SMU over Alabama, mentioned, I'll give you the exact quote. Give me just a second. On SMU versus Alabama, quote, "The way SMU played in that game, losing on a last second field goal, great win by Clemson." What, the way they played in a loss to a team that is 0-2 against the SEC this year? That's a good mark? Their total body of work, including the way they played in a loss? That's really what we're doing here. It's bizarre. It's totally bizarre. Part of you was kind of relieved Alabama's not in the playoffs, but in your opinion, three of the top 12 teams were the 9-3 SEC ones. They were, and look, each of them have themselves to blame for missing it. Don't lose to Kentucky. It's very simple for Ole Miss. Don't lose to Vanderbilt or Oklahoma if you're Alabama. Very simple there. I mean, they did it to themselves. Sure. Absolutely they did. But, and what's going to happen now, and you know this is going to happen, for some reason, there are some people that disagree with me on this. I think they're nuts. There will be framework, I think, has already been drawn out for another expanded playoff after next year, because I guess the contract forces them to have one next year in the same way. But if they didn't have one already, they'll start working on it tomorrow. Yeah, you think that the SEC is going to sit idly by and stand for this, for SMU getting a bit over out? You think they're going to stand by? I don't think so. What I am not going to like about the new format that's coming is the SEC and the Big Ten are going to get like four auto bids. I don't like auto bids in football because there's so few teams in the playoff. I get it for basketball because 68 teams make the freaking thing, you know? It's a little bit different in baseball. 64 teams make the thing. But when you have a limited field tournament like you have in football, I don't think you should be handing out bids. Find a transparent formula and make the process much cleaner than it's been remove sitting athletic directors from the committee. That would be another great one. I mean, no conflict of interest there at all. Oh, there's definitely no conflict of interest from an athletic director from the Big Ten. The Big Ten's biggest competition is the SEC. The biggest competition for the Big Ten is the SEC. And the chair of the committee that selected the playoff teams is an athletic director in the Big Ten. And the chair of the committee put SMU in over Alabama. And maybe that was the right decision all along, but you cannot tell me there's no conflict of interest in that, because SMU getting in over Alabama helps the Big Ten. Should somebody that has a stake in the Big Ten be allowed to make that decision or part of that decision? No. No sitting AD or president should be on the committee. That kind of stuff is what I want to see. 16, 1 through 16, transparent process, no buys, 8 home games. That's what it is, or is what it should be anyway. Does Ole Miss go after a quarterback in the portal? I think you can almost guarantee that. Nice pickup of Duke in the background of the Jordan Watkins post, Borky. Thank you. Yeah, it was pretty obvious that, like, because people freaked out, right? It was like, what does this mean? Is he transferring again? It's like, no, guys, he's going to the NFL. What are you talking about? What do you mean? No. And so just, you know, quick zoom in. And yeah. The Citrus Gator and ReliQuest Bowls are going to get the same hype as the NY6s did with this new playoff format, you feel? I could not disagree with you more. Could not possibly disagree with you more. But that doesn't mean I'm right. It just means I just disagree there. Brandon with the super chat. Thank you, man. Glad to see you. Thank you so much, my friend, PTG Brandon. Thank you, man, for that. And y'all check him out at PTG Outdoors. The boat punishment. So here's my idea, Brandon. I think it should be preemptive before the tournament. Before the tournament starts. I just could not. It was all here. I could not disappear for 24 hours. There was just no way to make arrangements for that to happen. But I think I'm able to get that done now. So something like starting selection Sunday into something like that is what I'm thinking. Thank you. Thank you, man. Really appreciate you. You don't know about the bowl game. Do they really care about going and winning it? It would be a good thing to have a 10th win, make more history with back-to-back 10-win seasons. Absolutely. Penn State lost the Big Ten title and got the best draw in the entire field. No kidding. I mean, SMU and Boise State. I still truly cannot believe that. Because like in basketball, right, there's auto bids, but the teams are seeded based on how good they are. So to apply a tournament principle to this, Boise State is the third best team in college football? Of course not. And they have done nothing to indicate that. But that's the position that they were handed. And that's backwards. If you want to do auto bids to get them in the field, I still disagree with that. But, I mean, I can hear that argument better. Handing them buys because of that is a joke. Penn State's draw is a joke. You want to talk about Texas for a minute? They aren't good enough offensively to win a title. Ewers, quite frankly, is not a great quarterback. He's regressed. You're going to have a push for Arch after this season. I mean, Ewers is not an NFL quarterback right now. He's not. I mean, maybe he just hits the portal or maybe he just goes just because. But, man, they are not good enough there. He's not good enough there. Another super chat. Thank you, man. Really appreciate you for all of your support over the years, especially lately with everything on the radio show. In all seriousness, I'm good with Lane and the team and can't wait for next season. Yeah, I mean, you know, they've got to get it right in the portal. I still like a lot of what they have returning. fewer guys, of course, but I mean, you look at it, and as long as Austin Simmons doesn't play baseball, you at least should feel good about your quarterback. That's even before you add one via portal. Diggs at running back, if he's, you know, back to himself after the injury. You got Caden Lee at receiver, right at tight end. You've got Harris and Franklin on the, and Suntarian Perkins on the defensive line. Dottery at linebacker. There's some pieces, you know, there's a nucleus to build around, but the portal is going to be, you know, a necessity. They're already bringing in for a visit the AAC player of the year at wide receiver, and you know, we'll see what happens there. Follow the visits with portal recruiting. That's what you need to follow. Not, you know, school has interest in X player. The school's going to have interest in a lot of players. It's who's visiting. That's when that changes things. Follow the visits with portal recruiting. David, you don't have to worry about the first part. You say, if we fire Kiffin, I hope we hire Golden. Lane Kiffin's not going to get fired. If Ole Miss is replacing Lane Kiffin, it's because he moved on and not because he got fired. I would be very surprised with the current state of the program. It falls off to the point where you're firing the person. Would be very surprised. But I do, I'm with you on the Pete Golding half of that. He's been very, very, very good. More than good. Elite. And evaluation and inroads with recruiting and structure and able to get players from new places to buy in. He has been an absolute home run. Dart needs 168 passing yards to break Chad Kelly's single season record. Should get it. Opt-outs could work in our favor if young players get good game reps. That's what I'm kind of curious about is if they're able to do that and who opts out. Like if Princely, you know, gets a good grade and he opts out, I mean, you should get a real heavy look at Cam Franklin. And that is an exciting proposition for next year. Duke is plus 340 on the money line. Bet on the Blue Devils and donate money back to the collective. Think similar to the Egg Bowl to a much lesser degree. There is nothing but a net positive for the program. It can feel like a good win in the end with a 10th win. Yeah. Aiken, South Carolina watching. Glad to see you, man. Glad to see you. What do I think Ole Miss will be in the basketball AP poll? So I will be totally honest with you. I have not paid attention to who has lost in front of them. Let's see if I can pull it up quickly. So I don't know, but you know, yesterday, you could probably see yesterday coming, you know, played two, you know, big brands, big games, tough, emotional, kind of like down to the wire games. Then you come home and I guess the students are gone, although, you know, some of them showed up, but kind of a sleepy environment because it's, you know, it's freaking Lindenwood, right? You're not going to get a jacked up environment for Lindenwood, and You kind of struggle a little bit early, just a little bit, and then they, you know, wake up and blow them out in the second half. You could see that coming. So, let's see. Oregon lost in front of them. I don't think Ole Miss will jump all the way up in front of Oregon, though. They were at 12. Memphis lost. They could jump Memphis, although Memphis has some really good wins. UConn beat Texas today. Let's look at yesterday. See if anything happened there. Wisconsin lost, but they were 11. Probably not happening. Pittsburgh got beat badly by Mississippi State, but they beat Virginia Tech, who's 3-6, by the way. Conference play already starting in the ACC. That's interesting. So they could jump Pittsburgh in theory after State just beat the brakes off of them. So they're at 23 now. They could, you know, move up a spot or two, maybe. Boise State getting and Arizona State getting top four buys is ridiculous. I don't like the buy system to begin with. Should be 16 that all play on campus seated normally, and maybe auto bids only guarantee a spot. So are we expecting a full playoff realignment in 2026 now? I would bet my house on it. I would bet not only bet my house on it, I would oh, gosh, my house, my car, everything. I mean, I promise you, Greg Sankey has had a brutal day today. every AD in his conference has called him, and forgive my language, everybody, has called him and bitched at him. All of them today. Kirby Smart did it on the podium last night, which everybody thought it was like, oh, Kirby Smart, look at him taking a dig at Sankey. Oh, okay, Kirby, I'm sorry you had to play a tough schedule. Boo-hoo, man. Like, give me a break. I'm so sorry that you had to play a hard schedule this year, Kirby. You've lost to Alabama and Ole Miss only since 2020. Boo-hoo. But, yeah, it was a rough day. It's a rough, rough day for Greg Sankey, I feel. And they're going to start the wheels on that soon. You guarantee it. 75% of coaching is getting the best talent. 25% is X's and O's, especially in college. A full-blown autopsy needs to be conducted on the Kentucky loss. That kind of loss can't happen again. Yeah, you know, I think it's not just Kentucky, though. I mean, that one's the worst one, but offensively they disappeared too often, especially in second halves. I mean, even in wins. I mean, the offense was not good against a bad Mississippi State team. Still couldn't move the football consistently. It wasn't good in the second half against South Carolina, really. If Juice doesn't drop the ball, maybe we're having a different conversation. But still, like, it wasn't great even there. And obviously one second half touchdown and their three losses, I mean, combined is just not good enough. So they need a full dissection of the offense and how they approach that. Scheme, personnel, however they need to do it, they need to figure out why it went as poorly as it did. And because I don't want to hear, well, it's just the offensive line. So you're telling me that you maximized everything you had on offense, talent, you maximized your play calling, you maximized personnel, running back, everything was maximized, but the offensive line just wasn't good enough. No, can't buy that. Another super chat. Pat is too tough on Borky. Pat's a jerk. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your super chat. Pat is a jerk. Pat tried to claim that I was late tonight when I wasn't. So he's even hard on me about things that he didn't even be hard on me about. Conferences are so bad with this format. You had a group of five team get a bye over the hapless Big 12 and ACC. I mean, seriously, like the ACC getting two bids in this tournament is it's truly unbelievable with how bad that league has been. Their champion played two SEC teams, got beat by one at home, and the other one beat them by four touchdowns. And the third best team they played on their schedule also beat them at home. So it was a horrible league. It is regressing majorly as a conference, but they get two bids. Okay. The Big 12 is a better league than the ACC, and they only get one. Okay. Another super chat. I agree with Edward. This is complete, forgive my language, everybody, complete shit. Oh, man. Thank you for that. The format's awful. And here's the thing, though. Format's awful, but I have loved talking about it. I have loved debating it. I playoff expansion has been a net positive for college football. I've been totally, completely a net positive in college football. The format needs to change. You say people forget that in 2021, several people were saying Harbaugh needed to be fired as Michigan's head coach. Well, he couldn't beat Ohio State. Kiffin isn't elite, but he's very good. He is very good. I wouldn't call him elite yet, but he's very good. And, yeah, people were calling for Harbaugh's job, and they started cheating, and they won. Was impressed with Georgia's resilience on Saturday. They should have a pretty simple path to the national championship. We don't know about Beck's health, though. Does it really matter? It's kind of a hot take, I know, but does it? The SEC just signed 58 of the top 100 recruits in the country, more than every other Power Four conference combined. Exactly. They're not created equal. That's why I hate the NFL comparisons, because the NFL is created equal. Doesn't seem often that Ole Miss loses players to the portal that they would rather keep. Kiffin talked in the signing day press conference about how they balance money across position groups, etc. Yeah, I mean, very few, right? they wanted to keep a few guys, but not for the price. Like Austin Keys, not for that price that Auburn paid him. That was an overpay to be petty. There's guys that have left that they would have preferred stayed, but dollar amounts get to a certain point where it's not worth it. Quinshon obviously is one that they would have, in hindsight, they could have used this season, but who knows if they'd have even actually played him. I mean, there's an undersized wide receiver out there that you could convert to running back in a win or else game. Walker Howard into the portal. Hopefully he finds somewhere to land. Austin Simmons cannot play baseball. I agree. Austin Simmons cannot play baseball. If he does, then the portal quarterback recruiting is going to be fascinating because they're going to be recruiting. Okay, you're going to come start here. I think Howard is going to Louisiana. That was the rumor a couple weeks ago. We'll see if that actually happens. Not shocked by Walker hitting the portal, but please pick up a quarterback, not named Maddox. I think that they will. I think that they will. Is that a prediction? No, Walker Howard is hitting the portal. What bothers you about the Boise Buy is that they will not give the same honor to anybody else in the Mountain West. It's not a bad point. If it was UNLV that had Boise State season, would they be where they are? Interesting. I haven't thought about that. Why did the SEC agree to this format? This is a mess. Yeah, Sankey kind of got put in a locker on this one, didn't he? At least Ole Miss got a night game. Yeah. Those pictures Kiffin tweeted of Gators throughout the season were some great foreshadowing. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, he ended up trolling himself as he was trying to troll you guys. The entire band will get to go. Nice. Good. You can have fun in Jacksonville. You can have fun in Jacksonville, for sure. A 9-3 Clemson getting in as the number 12 team ahead of multiple teams way better than them, and one they just lost to makes me shake my head. I mean, yeah, their rankings were also pretty awful on top of everything else. So, oh well. And that Clemson only won by a field goal? Yeah. The committee contradicted their own rules about the eye test, margin of defeat, etc. Of course they did. They made it up as they went along. Michael says, I bet Boise would bet that Boise would beat Kentucky. Maybe they would. Maybe they would. Do I have a preference for Heisman? Although I've been kind of dumping on Boise State, I think Gentes, he would be my vote, I think. I know Hunter's, he's special too. Gentes would have my vote. He was unbelievable the other night. Don't you love how he's like, he doesn't start plays in like a ready position at all. He's just standing straight up. He's unbelievable. I mean, just a special back. Balance, power, breakaway speed. I know he's playing against lesser competition, but man, when you watch him, you know he's special. You've seen Otis from Alabama and Arkansas lineman Crystal Ball to Ole Miss. Boy, that Otis number, the rumored asking price for him is something. Something that I would be hesitant to pay if I were Ole Miss, unless he comes down from it. You think Penn State is losing to SMU? Oh, you do? I don't. Is Travis Hunter the favorite? Probably. Will anybody go to the Gator Bowl? I think so. I mean, you know, maybe not 45,000 of you, but I mean, there was that question, you know, who's going to go to the Egg Bowl now? Nobody. And then other than the student section, which is understandable, the stadium was full. You still got a lot of people, regardless of the frustrations, that love their team and that will follow them anywhere. And they'll go to Florida for a few days. And you've got a lot of Ole Miss fans on the East Coast anyway. And yeah, will it be a big crowd? No. But you know, somebody in one of my group messages earlier said that there's not going to be 5,000 Ole Miss fans. And I was like, oh, come on. Yes, there will. Yes, there will. Does this mean now it's idiocy for the SEC to go to 9 games? Absolutely. What's the point? You only add 8 more losses to your league. What's the point? Bama and the rest of the SEC got to do their job and keep teams like SMU out by not losing. No disrespect. Of course. I mean, it's Alabama's fault they didn't get in. It is their fault. It is Ole Miss's fault they didn't get in. It's South Carolina's fault they didn't get in. All Ole Miss has to do is beat Kentucky. It's been rehashed 100 times. But there is no doubt in my mind that SMU would not have finished their season at 9-3 playing Alabama, Ole Miss, or South Carolina schedule. There's no shot. Would not have happened. No way. No way. You've seen Caleb Odom enter the portal, solid wide receivers. Oh, I bet he'll be expensive too. The FCS has done it with the 32-team playoff, played and has worked fine for them. No conference games, though, in the FCS because, yeah. The playoff format is so broken that winning your conference title, even as the one seed, isn't the best draw. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I mean, who would you rather play? Oregon got a worse draw, in my opinion, than Boise State did. I mean, you're talking about the winner of Ohio State and Tennessee or Penn State and SMU. What game would you rather play? Ohio State went to Penn State and beat the hell out of them. Who would you rather play right now, the winner of Ohio State, Tennessee, or the winner of Penn State, SMU? Boise State got an easier draw. 2026 will be a 16 playoff, question mark? I don't know. I don't know. I think so. Any truth to the rumors Charlie Weiss is accepting the head coaching job at FIU? I have no idea. I have not heard that. Doesn't mean that it's not true. But I have not personally heard that myself. Each of the four first-round games having varying levels of interest for you. You'll watch them, but the only one you're really locked in for is Tennessee at Ohio State. I'm locked in for that one, no doubt. Do I think Lebby will pull a Lemonis and keep Hutzler so that when they are bad next year, he can use them as the scapegoat for another year? I can tell you that's not his motivation. Will that be how that goes down if the defense is bad again? Yeah. Yeah. Kiffin's on-field interview before the Kentucky game kind of sums up the team's mentality. There's your autopsy. Pretty mentally weak football team. They were front runners, it seems. But anyway, does Juice Wells go undrafted? It's possible. He's very talented. I know it didn't look like it this season, but he is. Folks mad about SMU, but how is Indiana a lock for getting blown out by Ohio State? Their game control is why. Their game control was really good. They blew out everybody. You know, the game is a month away, but are you crazy for confidently thinking Duke is going to win? You've got the Texas Bowl on your mind. I think Lane needs to coach this one differently than the Texas Bowl. And he probably doesn't care, but they need to approach this one differently. Will they? We'll see. Alabama lost a lot of players to the transfer portal. Kiffin needs to get those Alabama wide receivers. There's one of two that he could use. Gentee's great, but you fear he may get stonewalled by Penn State. Man, I would almost guarantee that it happens. Morgan looked excellent on offense yesterday. Penn State had a good showing too, but Dan Lanning has a machine there, and they're very close to a complete team. They're fun to watch, yeah. People forget Boise only lost to Oregon by 3 points, and Gentee almost had 200 rushing yards. Oregon's overrated. Yeah, the week before, it took a trick play to beat Idaho. You'd go, but you'd be on a cruise. You might have more fun. Bama, South Carolina, and Ole Miss would dog walk half of the top 12. College football playoff is broken. At least 10 conference games will balance it out for the SEC. Why on earth would that wouldn't balance out anything? That would only make it worse and only make it harder. That's all that would do. It would add 16 more losses to the league. The committee has said straight up, That doesn't matter. You need wins. You don't need difficult schedules. You need wins. That is the message that they have sent. It's absolutely ridiculous that Alabama's three spots ahead of Ole Miss. It's only trying to it's only trying to make them look better. They move Arizona State up just because they did. To make it not look bad. Even in the final rankings, Arizona State jumped Carolina and Ole Miss, but not Miami and Alabama. Then Clemson beats SMU, but stays ranked behind them. It's all just so they made it up as they went along. The whole process was just nonsense. They can't remove auto bid next year. They can do it for 2 years, but I'm telling you, they'll start working on it this week. Can't wait to see Miami's opt-outs in the Pop-Tart Bowl. I bet they're one of the worst with opt-outs. Absolutely, when it's that. When it's that. SMU being ranked over Clemson, who just beat them a day before, was wild. But look at Indiana, no kidding. Weiss is not going to be the head coach at FIU. Another super chat. Thank you. Thank you, of course, for it. Pray for Weiss to FIU. Here's the problem, though, man. Kiffin... I know he wants to have a play caller, but man, he's the offensive guy with a headset and a play sheet. I can't get past that component of it where everybody thinks that the Charlie Weiss Jr. is like the reincarnation of Satan himself. But man, every play that is called goes through Kiffin's headset and he has veto power, every single one. Saxton Arnold probably going to Mississippi State with Lebby. I don't know if I would say probably. He's going to have guaranteed starter situations elsewhere. And if he's going to look at State, unless State loses to the portal, but, I mean, Chapin, there's been no indication that he's leaving, and Van Buren started the entire season. Is he really going to go to State coming off of a 2-10 season? With that in the quarterback room, or go to Auburn, who wasn't really any better, went 5-7, but he will be guaranteed to be the starter at Auburn. No, I mean, he will be the starter at Auburn if that's where he goes. So that's where State's going to have an issue here, is if they're going to try to pitch to him, you know, it's not going to be that simple. Wonder how the SEC as a whole handles this bowl season. I fear they could be checked out in a lot of games and lose them. I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. How did the ACC manage to keep SMU, Miami, Clemson from playing each other during the year? That should be investigated. It just kind of worked out that way. Nobody really expected SMU to be what they were. The most incomplete part about Oregon's their uniforms. Wasn't really a fan. Yeah, they do too much. Sometimes they knock it out of the park, but they do too much. Is it Matt Luke, an OC? He's the offensive line coach at Clemson. You believe that today was the beginning of the breakaway that the Big Ten and the SEC will eventually get to? Today was the beginning of something. I think in the short term, it'll just be a change in the playoff, but yeah. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, thank you for the super chats. Check out PTG Outdoors. Hey, it's probably, I don't think it's too late to winterize a boat, but I'm going to be in the golf cart market. That's where I'm going to go, but man, they've got you covered. PTG Outdoors for all of you. I should be wearing the... I was doing some laundry and I didn't pull out the hoodie that they sent me, but check them out. Really good people there. Big partners of us on the radio show, and very thankful for them, and specifically our good buddy Brandon. So check them out if you have not already. And I will see you guys. Yeah, I did see BYU and Colorado are in the Outback Bowl because they had to fill in for the Pac-12. Yeah. All that. That's crazy. You guys, the best. We'll see you on Tuesday. And the schedule reveal is Wednesday. We'll just go live on Tuesday just to be consistent. but I will do a reaction to the schedule on Wednesday as well. Basketball's off this week, so it will really be kind of portal heavy conversation upcoming. So thank you guys. I appreciate you. And I'll talk to you on Tuesday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.